Okay, Chizkuni Parshas Re'eh. So the parsha begins that you'll come to Eretz Yisrael and you'll destroy their avodah zarahs and you'll bring karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash and you'll eat there. And it says in Pasuk Zayin Va'achaltem Sham, and it says Atem Va'atechem, but it doesn't say anything about the Levi. It says Va'achaltem Sham Lefnei Hashem Kechem Smachtem B'chol Mishlech Atem Va'atechem, just you and your house. A couple psukim later, it says, "Vayah makom asher." This is in Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says, "Vayah makom asheriv chasham akechem shekin shmo sham shama taviu." There you'll bring everything I command you. All those in zvachim, and it says, "Usmach in Pasuk Yud Beis machnam shem lakechem." Then it says, "Atem uvneichem uvnaseichem v'avdeichem v'amuseichem v'halevi asher b'sharechem." The Levi gets mentioned there, so this is like within five pesukim of each other. Pasuk Zion just says, "You'll come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll bring karbanos, you'll be happy there, and you'll eat with who? You and your family." Then you get the pasuk Yud Aleph Yud Beis, and it's telling you to be happy with the Levi too. So what happened? Why later is it the Levi? So the Chizkuni explains that the first pesukim are talking about when you're in Eretz Yisrael and you haven't really conquered the land yet. So in that case, you don't have a nachla either. So you and the Levi are the same. The Levi doesn't have, like, the Levi doesn't have nachla, you don't have nachla. So there, it doesn't mention anything special about the Levi, helping out the Levi, because you're in the same boat. But, a couple of psukim later, it says, in Pasuk Yud, it says, "Vavartim esayardim, mishavtim ba'aretz asher Hashem lakechem manchalachem, v'hiniach lachem mikol oyveichem, misaviv v'shamtem bechtach." You've already conquered the land. At that point, you get the nachla. Once you have a nachla, you have something over the Levi. You're going to have something to make money from. The Levi is not. So there it says, and when you'll bring, eat your food, you should, remember the Levi, have him, make him happy too. Okay. Next, we have the Isser Bamos. It says, "Lo sasun," this is in Pasuk Ches, well, at the beginning of the parasha, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Ches. It says, "Lo sasun kechol asher anachnu osim." Don't do what we did here. Ish kol yasher be'enav. Here we bring, here in the Midbar, we have Bamos. And when you get to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to bring Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and you're not going to do any more Bamos. Just to say that a little clearer, more clearly. In the Mishkan, you're bringing all kinds of Karbanos. In the Beis HaMikdash, you're bringing all kinds of Karbanos. In the Bamos, you're only going to bring two Nedarim and Nedavos. Okay, so why is that? Why is it that when they were conquering Eretz Israel, basically, they were bringing Bamos, which means a Mizbeach in your backyard, and they were bringing Nedarim and Nedavos. And once the Beis HaMikdash is built, and other times too, once they had a central place, so then you can't bring your you can't use Bamos anymore. Like today, you can't bring a Karban in your backyard anymore. So why is it that when there's a Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring it in the Beis HaMikdash, and when there isn't, they have this Bamos? So you would think the answer would be obvious, but listen to what the Chizkuni says. The reason why there was a Heter Bamos, he says, during the times of when they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, is when there was no Beis HaMikdash, is because it was dangerous. It was wartime. Hear this? It was wartime, so everyone's afraid to get together in one central location. If you made everybody get together in one central location, so then, you know, that would be a great way for the enemy to attack. So, therefore, during the time they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, there was a Heter Bamos, so people could stay home. But once they have conquered Eretz Yisrael, and they build a Beis HaMikdash, so then there's nothing to fear, that everybody could gather in one place and it would be okay. And he says, you find this hint in what David said. When David wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, it says, "Vayhi ki yashav melech be'beiso, v'Hashem hiniach lo mikol oyvav shiviv v'misaviv." David was sitting in his house, and Hashem had beaten his enemies. All the enemies had been beaten. And then, "Vayomer melech hamasan anav, hinei nochi yoshiv be'is arazim, v'aron ha'lokim yoshiv be'is chariya, v'atay niach shem li misaviv, in satin v'npegara, v'atay hinei niomer levim neil spayis." David basically said, once I conquered my enemies, now I can build the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what he's saying. That's right. You have Bamos till the enemies are conquered, because otherwise it could be too dangerous to gather together, or people would be afraid of it. Now, once the Beis HaMikdash is built, once the Kibush V'chilik is over, they had an Isser Bamos. Once there's the Beis HaMikdash, a place to go, they can't do Bamos anymore. Okay. So the Torah is very machmir about that. Why is that? Because once there's a Beis HaMikdash, if people start doing stuff in their homes, then they end up, you know, doing their own thing, and they end up worshipping Avodah Zarah. So that's why once there is a Beis HaMikdash, they're not allowed to have bamos. It's not just optional, they're not allowed to have. Okay. Then we have the Pasuk Tes Vav. It says, it means you have an animal of hektish, the garamum, and then you can shecht it. But you're not allowed to shear it. And you, Rashi says also, you can't use the milk. You can shecht it. That's what you could do with psuli hamikdash. And again, this is a behema that was hektish and garamum, so you can shecht it, but you can't drink the milk. So the Chizkuni has a problem with that, because Rashi's making it sound like it's an issur d'oraisa, that that's what this pasuk is talking about. And yet, the Gemara in Me'ilah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, says that Cholav HaMukdashin and Beitz Es Torin are only asur midrabanan. So the milk is only an issur d'rabanan. So why does Rashi make it sound like it's a d'oraisa? He makes it sound like this is, you can't shear it, which is definitely d'oraisa. And he says you can't drink the milk. And the milk's only an issur d'rabanan. So why does Rashi make it sound like it's an issur d'oraisa? So he says the following chilek, that if it was an animal that, you know, was giving off milk, when you were makdish it, then it is a d'oraisa. The Gemara that says is d'rabanan, that's talking about when you were makdish it, it was not an animal that was giving off milk. It was too young or whatever it wasn't giving off milk yet. If you're makdish it when it's not giving off milk, and then it gives off milk, that's only an issur d'rabanan. But if you're makdish it and it already had milk in it, so then that would be an issur d'oraisa, that milk. That's what he says. Okay. So then we have something I'm pretty sure no one's here ever heard of, was listening, although who knows. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, we have this fascinating thing. It talks about the Bechor. Okay, so it talks about a bunch of things, but what we're going to talk about is the Bechor. So it's Pasuk Yud Zayin. And it says, L'chut sucha lechol b'sharecha, Maiser de Gancha Tiroshka Vitarecha, Bechorus, Bekarcha, Betsunacha, Vachona, Derecha, Shetidor, Vidin Vosecha, Chumasidecha, you go to the Beis HaMikdash. Don't eat in your backyard. The Maiser, Tirosh, and Yitzar, your Maiser, and the Bechor of your animals and your tone, and any other Nadava that you make, rather bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So, who are we talking about here? Who's not eating this? Who has to eat this? We're talking about the Yisrael here. So the Maiser Dagan Matirosh is your Maiser Sheni, right? So you bring that, to the Beis HaMikdash, not the Beis HaMikdash, whatever, to Yerushalayim, your Maiser Sheni. The Bechor is Bekarcha Vitzoncha, your Bechor is, but that doesn't get eaten by you. That gets eaten by the Kohen. So what in the world are we talking about here? I guess the Pasha Pshat is like Rashi, that, okay, and the Chizkuni does mention this Pshat, that you split it up. You're right. Okay. Lachal Basha, your Meiser Dagan and Tirish, your Meiser Sheni, which is what it's referring to, you bring to Yerushalayim. And the Bechor is talking about the Kohen. The Kohen should bring his stuff, he'll also eat that in Yerushalayim. Because it's a carbon. The Bechor is a carbon, firstborn animal of the, of a kosher. Bekarcha v'tzoncha are you bringing as a carbon? Okay, so they'll all have to bring it to Yerushalayim. Good, but the pashup shot is that the whole thing is talking to. I mean, the pashup shot of the flow of it would mean that it's all talking to the same person. So, what does it mean that Yisrael will bring his bechor to Yerushalayim? Why is he bringing his bechor to Yerushalayim? He just brings it to the Kohen. So, here's some minhag you never heard of. I'm pretty sure the Chizkuni brings two minhagim. One minig was that the first animal gets given to the Kohen, and the second animal, the Yisrael, brings it to Yerushalayim. That was a minig. He eats it in Yerushalayim. Secondly, I don't know if there's like sources for this elsewhere, but this is what the Chizkuni brings, this minig. Another minig he brings, if the firstborn is a girl, it's also not brought as a karban. But he says, the Yisrael, same thing. There's a minig to bring the firstborn girl to Yerushalayim to eat it there like Maaser Sheni. Okay. It was news to me. Actually, I think it says it's a Yerushalmi. Okay. So, I don't know where in Yerushalmi, but he says it's a Yerushalmi. The footnotes here don't tell you where because they couldn't find it. But either way, it's a very interesting minhag that they used to bring the first, either if it was a girl or the second born, they would bring it and eat it like Maisa Sheni. And that would be at least a remnant from this posuk. Okay, next. Just something that's kind of much more famous in Pasuk Chaf. It just says, Amarta Ochla Basar, that Chazal say that a person should not eat meat unless they are sure they can afford it. At least there's a remnant from there. Then, this is interesting, in Pasuk Chavav, it says, just read it to you, it says, Rak Rashecha Sheyu Lecha Unadarecha, your Kachim and your Nadarim, Tisa Uvasa, you will lift and bring, El Amokom Asher Yivchar Hashem. And so the Chizkuni says, you know how we see in the davening on Yom Tov, Vatasienu, Vatasienu rather, Vatasienu Hashem Lokecha Zbirchas Moadecha, that Lashon Vatasienu, he says, comes from this Pasuk. Tiso uvasel amakam shayiv charashem. That's the hasienu. Okay. Then we have the Indian of the false Navi. So the words of the psukim are that a Navi comes, a fake out, and he says, go worship Avodah Zarah, and I'm going to make a miracle. And then he actually makes a miracle. And he says, okay, see? Go worship Avodah Zarah. Don't do it, because Hashem is just doing this as a test for you. That's the pashup shat in the psukim. So the Chizkuni does not like that. He says, and he's quoting from a Sifri, Chas v'shalom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make a miracle for a Rasha like this. Okay, even though the Pesukim sound like, what do you mean? It's for a test. But okay, this he brings from a Sifri, from Rabbi Kiva, Chas v'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid chamel over your retona. Don't tell me that Hashem would make Nisim for these Rishayim. Okay, so if so, what does the Pesuk mean? So he says, the Sifri says it's talking about someone who was a real Navi, and he went, as they say, OTD. He was a real Navi, and then he went off. He decided to worship Avodah Zarah. So he was a Navi, a tzaddik. Hashem made miracles for him, and then something happened, maybe like Acher, whatever. Something happened, and he's not from anymore. So now he says, go worship Avodah Zarah. So you shouldn't listen to him. And if you'll say, he says, if Hashem knew he was going to be a Rasha one day, and if so, why didn't Hashem make miracles for him originally? It would mess people up. People are going to think he's legit. The answer is, that's the test. Ki menas Hashem alkeinu eschem. That's the test. Hashem knew he would sin, but he still made miracles for him when he was a tzaddik, even though that might lead people astray later, because that should be a test, but it's to see if you love Hashem. Okay. Then we have, in Perek Yedaleh, the Banim Atem Hashem lokechem, therefore lo sisko to do. Right, you're not supposed to cut yourself or rip out your hairs over someone dying. Because it says Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. So what does it have to do with you being sons to Hashem? So there are different pshatim, as you know, but the Chizkuni says, because you have to trust in Hashem. Meaning if something terrible happens, God forbid, so don't pull your hair out, literally. Or cut yourself or whatever. Because you have to trust that Hashem knows what he's doing and it's all a tova. And just like a child follows their parents and they know their parents know where they're going and they don't ask questions, like a little kid, you're going on a trip in the car, the kid doesn't say, hey dad, how you know where you're going and how you're working out, like they trust the father. So we are banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, we are children to Hashem, that's what it means. Therefore we have to trust in Hashem and therefore don't rip out your hair, don't be so upset, you have to know it's all a tova. It's a beautiful pshat. Okay, then Pasuk Yedalef, just an interesting thing where it's talking about the kosher animals, non-kosher animals. It says, Kol Tzipor Tahora, every Tzipor Tahor. There's just an interesting thing that it just mentions that anytime it says Tzipor, it's talking about a Tahor animal. This is from Chazal, this is not the Chizkun of Shibshat, it's a Sifri. But just it's interesting. Anytime you say the word Tzipor, it must be talking about a kosher animal. The word Tzipor is uniquely used for a kosher animal. A tummy animal is called an oaf. Now, there is a tohar animal that's also called an oaf, but a tummy animal is only called oaf, never tzipor. Kosher animal is uniquely tzipor. So the word tzipor means a kosher animal, which is nice for the ladies named Tzipora. So you know it's a kosher status. Okay, just also another interesting thing, somebody talks about the ostrich, Vespasayana, which I think we translate as ostrich. So why is it called a basayana? Why doesn't it just say the ostrich? Why is she the daughter of an ostrich? Also, because a ostrich is not edible when it's old. It's only edible when it's young, therefore it calls it a basayana. That's when you would want to eat it. Okay. Again, we have talking about coming to Eretz Yisrael in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, and it says, Laman Tilmad Liyira. This is referring to when you're coming to eat your Maaser Sheni and all that other stuff. You'll come to Beis HaMikdash. Laman Tilmad Liyira. What does it mean? You'll learn to be Yare. So the Cheskuni says it means you'll be Ragil. You'll be used to being Yare Es Hashem. Like in Agala Melumada or whatever. Melumad means that you're used to it. You're like, trained. It's your way now. So that's Laman Tilmad Liyira. It means you should get used to being Yare Es Hashem. Why? Because you'll come to Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, and you'll see the Kohanim doing their Avodah, the Levim doing their Shira, the Yisrael there, and the Sanhedrin. Imagine this picture of the Sanhedrin donning and paskening, and you'll come to Yare Es Hashem. Okay. But in Perek Tesvav, we have Shemitah. Okay. So there's a lot of very interesting things here. Just first, some just basic halachas. He mentions that Zed Var HaShmita, that according, he says that even Shmita is even Meshamit, your words. If you're Chayim, meaning to say, if you're Chayim Meshvuah to your friend, it's also Shmita's Meshamit, he says. That's Dvar HaShmita. It says, Shemot Kol Ma'al Ma Shiyado, he brings the halacha that, from the Sifri, that Shemitah, remember, if you owe someone money, Shemitah knocks it out, right? You don't owe them money anymore unless you do a prosbul, but certainly Midaraisa, there's no concept of that. I mean, the Torah doesn't talk about that. And if you owe someone money, and Shemitah is done, so they, you don't owe them money anymore. But that's alone, not Gezel, he says, not a Pikadon, that is not Meshamit. Okay. So now he has this very interesting explanation of all this. So first of all, the connection. I don't know that I ever thought of this. Maybe I did. I don't know. What is the connection between the fact that you can't work your field and the fact that you don't owe anyone any money anymore? Like after Shemitah's over, so then you don't owe anyone money. And also, you don't work the field that year. Is there a connection? Ready for this? In case you never thought of it. He says that they are deeply connected, meaning to say, this Shemitah is out to help the poor man, basically. As we know, the Gemara tells us, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, right? From the Bikurim, the rich people would bring their golden baskets with Bikurim, they'd give them back their golden baskets afterwards, because they were chashev, and the poor people would come with wicker baskets, they wouldn't get their baskets back, because there's basically garbage anyway. So, but then the Aniyim would lose that basket, so the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. Shemitah is there to kind of help with that. So here's how it does in a couple of ways. One is, obviously you don't owe anyone money anymore, but it's not just that. It's because you're not working the field. Meaning to say, if you're not going to work your field, so normally you have a guy who owes you money, and the Parnas in the old days certainly was mostly from the field. So you're going to go to the guy, you owe me $100. How's he going to pay you? He has no money this year. He didn't make any income. So it's because you didn't work your field that Hashem says, okay, nobody owes anybody money anymore. So that Shemitah can happen, nobody's gonna go broke. Cause, normally you could just say, okay, let me just sell my, tefuah over here. There's Shemitah year, you don't have extra crops. So therefore Hashem said, nobody owes any money anymore, so people can survive. Secondly, you know, that someone who, what does a poor man do? A, he borrows money, so Shemitah, he gets out of it, so he doesn't stay so poor. Two is he sells himself as a slave in the old days, cause that's another way to, if you have no money, what you do. Same thing. It's over by Shemitah, right? Now, just to be clear, when we say, and the way we paskin, certainly the Gemara says, an Eved does not go free, an Eved Ivri does not go free in Shemitah year. It's the seventh year he's free means the seventh year from the day he was bought. That's what the Gemara says, that the Rambam says. The Lashon of the Cheskuni is that, though. He says that during the Shemitah year, maybe he's just talking about a standard thing where people, because why would you buy an Eved in the Shemitah year? You probably brought it the first year of the Shemitah year, so in the Shemitah. I can't say, I don't know. He does say that Haniim Hamochin Asatman Mesben Osein Chosrim B'Shemitah. Okay, so again, certainly Yovel, and that he mentions also, Yovel, of course, your properties go back. This is all, but the gist is the same, which is that the purpose of these things is to keep. Well, the fact that you don't work your land is because of, to show that Hashem runs the owner of the land. But the other stuff, the fact that you don't collect money from the ani during that time, and the fact that people go back, whether it's Shemitah, Yovel, whatever it is, that people go back eventually to their things, that's all to keep the poor people from getting too poor. And that's what he says, that's what Efes Kiloya Bechal Evyon, that's what he's trying to say. This way you will not have, that's the Lashon of the Pasuk, you won't collect that money, and then Efes Kiloya Bechal Evyon, which the Chizkuni says means, and therefore you will not have Evyonim. And later on, when it says in Pasuk Yudalef, Ki lo yechdal evyon, that you will always have poor people, that's like, he says, that's a lashon of Shema. That ki is Shema. Maybe you will have some poor people, meaning if you don't follow what the Torah says, you're not perfect with all this stuff, then you may have poor people. Okay, then we have the din of hanaka. If you have an eved that was sold to you by Beis Din, so you have to give him a present when he leaves. Right? That's what the Pasuk's talking about. A person was sold by Beis Din, so you have to give him all this stuff because, like when you get out of jail, he's got nothing now. So you have to give him food that he should be able to survive. So that's why giving me tzoncha migarncha mikvecha. Because it is talking about a guy who got freed by, who was sold by Beis Din, he just got out of jail and he has no money anymore. So therefore you have to give him hanaka. And then it says, don't be upset when you send him, and you send him with his hanaka, because he worked for you all these 6 years. What does that have to do with anything? So, because the Chizkuni says, the Pasuk says in a normal hiring of a guy is 3 years. That's a schir shanim. And he brings a Pasuk that says that. So this guy did double, this Eved did double. And therefore, you should be grateful. Okay, then we talk about the holidays. So it says, Al-Sochal Alav Chametz, and Shivas Yamim Tochlu Alav Matzos. What does it mean on 7 days? Eat on it matzos. So the Chizkuni says that you're eating the matzos because of the Karban Pesach that you're bringing. That's what it says. Alav, meaning because of the Karban Pesach, therefore you will eat on it, meaning because of it, matzos. That's an interesting thing. That's his lashon. Because of the Karban Pesach, you're eating the matzos. And it is lechamoni. It is poor man's bread. Why? I'm just going to tell you what he says. The reason he says it's poor man's bread is because a poor man usually makes matzah, apparently, because he doesn't have his own kelim to heat up water, so you can make the, you know, when you want to make bread that is actually going to rise, right? You want hot water, everything, all the things you wouldn't do on Pesach, you want, if you want it to rise, you got to heat the water so it cooks faster, and he doesn't have time for this. He just adds a little cold water and throws it in the oven, so poor men usually use matzah, he says, and that's the purpose of eating matzah on Pesach, because it's lechem oni. And ki bichi pazon yatzasa, and he says, Hashem could have let you stay in, Hashem could have made it, you stayed in Mitzrayim long enough to bake your bread, but he didn't, because he wanted there to be this zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim, because it was lechem oni. So anyway, that's how you read the pasuk, that you left Mitzrayim quickly, so that you will have a zecher. I mean, that's the lashon pasuk. Lo socha love chametz, shivas yom tov love matzos lechem oni, ki bechi pazon yatzasim eretz Mitzrayim. I mean, Hashem wanted you to have a zecher, to have lechem oni on Pesach. Sounds like, because we were poor men in Mitzrayim. So Hashem made us get out of Mitzrayim real quick so that we had a not let it rise, so we'd have a remembrance that we eat lechem oni 7 days on Pesach. That's what it sounds like. Okay, one last concept I want to mention at the end when he talks about Shavuos. It's very interesting. Remember, next time Shavuos comes around, this Chizkuni. Pasuk Yud Beis. So it says, B'samachta, it says, V'asitzachak Shavuos, that's in Yud. Yud Al says, V'samachta, V'nei Hashem lekecha, atavincha. Everybody will be happy. B'makam Shavivcha Hashem, Zacharta, Kevod Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, V'shamarta, V'asitzachakim ha'ela. So his explanation of that is very interesting. It mentions that it's a time of Simcha. Why is it a time of Simcha? So remember, Shavuos is the harvest time, and Sukkos, harvest, and then you, what you do is you harvest your wheat, and then you leave it out in the fields to dry, and then Sukkos, you bring it in. So when's like payday, really, in the olden days? So you harvested. That's basically, you're pretty safe at that point. You harvested the wheat, you should be good. In other words, Pesach time, the Torah does not mention Simcha, because it's not really a time of Simcha yet, certainly not as far as agriculturally, because who knows what's going to happen yet. But Pesach time, Shavuos time rather, that's when you harvest the wheat. So then you know the money's in the bag kind of thing. Like you harvest everything, you're good. All you're doing is leaving it out to dry in the sun. So on Sukkos is actually when you bring it in. That's when you really feel like $1 million. But Shavuos time is also time of Simcha, because then at least you know you've harvested and you're good. So that's why that's the simcha. And he says, "V'zacharta ki eved yisa b'mitzrayim." Why does it say specifically b'shvuas? And you will remember that you were an eved in Mitzrayim. Two reasons. One is there's no mitzvahs that day, right? There's no shofar. There's no sukkah. So you just have to remember in your head. Remember that you were an eved in Mitzrayim. That's why it says v'zacharta, because there's no mitzvah to do it with. And don't say, it's also a very busy time of year. It's like tax season. I mean, it's the equivalent of the busy season. That's harvest time. What do you mean make a holiday now? A holiday now, I should take off from work in harvest season. Remember, you used to be an eved in Mitzrayim. You had no money. I'm the one who gives you the money. So when you do the harvest, when you stop for Shavuos during the harvest time, you'll remember you used to be an eved in Mitzrayim. You had nothing. And Hashem gave you everything. And now, and look, and you harvest, you have your crops there to harvest, so you should give thanks to Hashem, be happy, and remember, at least mentally, that you're an eved in Mitzrayim.